I'm actually going to talk about what my topic is, trusted servant. And I wanted to thank you for last night for listening to my higher power use me as the conduit, to use me as a trusted servant to him so that he could speak directly to you and do that again now. I never heard the term trusted servant before I started coming to the rooms. The first time I heard it, I called into a meeting via Skype. There's a member of our fellowship in New Hampshire who's had a Skype meeting on Monday and Thursday evenings for an hour at 8 o'clock Eastern time. And he always referred to the person who was going to lead the meeting as the trusted servant. And I never really knew what that word was, and I thought about using it as a topic for this workshop. And again, presentations are over. No more me and Ken just standing up here talking. Now it's time for you to participate. This is a workshop. So at any time, anything I say or anything you want to think about related to the topic, please join in, raise your hand, and I'll call upon you. So for trusted servant, I looked it up in the dictionary, and I couldn't find a definition of trusted servant. Maybe you can find a dictionary that has it. But you can find definitions of the word trusted and servant. Trusted means reliance on another person or entity. Servant, a person in the service of another. So you can't be a trusted servant by yourself. Someone has to trust that the service you're going to provide is going to help them. Now, the term trusted servant does appear in our traditions. Tradition 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as expressed in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Those of us who are chosen by our groups to carry out the decisions called for by the group conscience are known as trusted servants. Leadership in SAA means a commitment to serving the fellowship of SAA and promoting our common welfare. As trusted servants, however, we do the will of our higher power as discerned by our group conscience. And it's that last phrase that I want to spend some time talking about. I have learned through my recovery that a lot of what I talk about and share are experiences or things that my higher power has revealed to me. My time of trying to determine on my own what is best for me, that time is over. That time ended with those 40 years of looking at pornography. Trying to stop on my own, trying to white knuckle by myself, all that did was just keep looking at pornography. It didn't help me stop. Being a trusted servant is a relationship that you have with someone else. And as Tradition 5 says, our sole purpose is reaching out to sex addicts. To me, that's what being a trusted servant is all about. Now, in our fellowship, we have certain parts of our fellowship where, and I don't really like to use the word leader or leadership, but I can't think of a better word, where we have someone who leads a meeting, someone who is the chair of an intergroup, someone who is the chair of the board of trustees or the chair of the leadership committee or the chair of the conference steering committee. And normally when you hear those words, you think of someone of taking on, having the full responsibility for that committee and people answering to them. But that is not what our fellowship is about. Our fellowship is about carrying the message to the sex addict who still suffers. Now, we are an international organization of over 1,600 groups. All of our groups need assistance. None of us did this on our own. We have people in our fellowship who do not write literature. They review and try to improve the literature that other members of our fellowship want to share with us. We have an international service organization. It's the staff of about 8 people. They work in a small office in Houston, Texas. They are there for the members of our fellowship and people who want to learn more about the fellowship to answer telephone calls, to answer emails, to provide literature, to provide different paraphernalia that is available through our fellowship. We have an executive director of our fellowship. And that term, you know, takes on a connotation of that this person is expected to have a certain amount of burden or weight of the organization on a daily basis. And I'm sure that sometimes Joe feels that he does have a lot of weight on his shoulders, but he is a trusted servant. He does not govern our fellowship. He does not determine which way our fellowship goes. Joe, the executive director, he works with the board of trustees. Now, as we're going through this transition from a region to a area structure for our fellowship, then we are really going to go to where anyone in our fellowship can be nominated and voted upon by the delegates at a conference. I think the regions do provide a purpose. I think we have a very strong region in Southeast region, but we're going to a structure where anyone, no matter where they are in the U.S., any country, can show that they have been a trusted servant to some extent and have something to give to the organization and can serve on the board of trustees. The main job of the board of trustees is a fiduciary responsibility. While our fellowship is about reaching out to the sex addict who still suffers, because we do have literature that we sell, because we do have meetings, because we do want to support and provide financial support to parts of our fellowship who need it, we have a budget. And we have, that budget is based on donations that you and I make to our fellowship. So we have to have a group of people who keep our financial responsibilities in the proper order. We have a conference steering committee who is responsible for helping to lead us from our regional structure to our area structure. And we'll talk some more about that in the mid-year caucus. But all these people, none of them by themselves have any authority, have any overall responsibility over anyone else in our fellowship. Our fellowship is based on the groups that we all belong to. Each group is autonomous. The responsibility of each group is to reach out to the sex addict who still suffers. That is what we do as trusted servants. The telemeeting intergroup has a page they call Trusted Servant Tips. And they have a paragraph before they have a list of their tips, and it reads, "Leading or chairing a telemeeting is a great way to give service. It's also known as being the trusted servant." So when you are the person who is leading that meeting, the people at the meeting are trusting you to follow what is probably the established format, but also to have the flexibility that when you think it is appropriate, that you will bend with that format. Of course, our basic format are our 12 steps. That is the solution. That is the program that we work. But there are experiences that we have that should be shared, and we can learn from each other. In our fellowship, as I talked about before, there are many layers upon which you can be a trusted servant. To me, being a trusted servant is what my recovery is all about, because that brings me into contact with other people in the organization. I was sitting at breakfast this morning with a couple people, and we were talking about groups and meetings, and one of the persons shared an experience they had at a meeting that I've never had, where it was, I guess, a fairly large meeting, and when it comes time to where they ask people to volunteer or raise their hands that they can be a temporary sponsor for someone who needs one, a lot of people raise their hand. That's not my experience. My experience is I go to meetings where maybe there's about 10 or 12 people, and at the end of each meeting they ask who would be willing to stay after the meeting and talk to someone who may have some questions. A lot of people raise their hands. Who would be willing to share their phone number with someone who may want to talk to someone about the program? A lot of people raise their hands. Who would be willing to be a temporary sponsor for someone who needs help? Guess whose hand is the only one that goes up? As I said last night, my sponsor emphasized very early in my recovery service. And being a trusted servant is how I try to provide service to others. And I ask you to think, pray, talk to your sponsor about what you could do to be a trusted servant. Our fellowship has a need. Our region has a need for more trusted servants. I will always attest that by being a trusted servant has become the sole purpose of my recovery. You cannot recover by yourself. My higher power is demonstrated to me over and over and over. The strength that I will gain, the progress I will make in my recovery when he provides to me an opportunity to reach out to someone. Now, it doesn't mean that every time that someone has asked me to help them to be their sponsor, that it has been a positive relationship. I have struggled the whole time I've been in recovery of knowing how to help guide other people in their recovery, because I have a hard enough time just trying to guide myself. I have temptations and images that pop into my mind, and when they do, the first thing I do is I turn to my higher power. I ask him for courage for just getting through the next second without giving in to that. I'm sure a lot of you have heard of the 3-second rule. I try to cut it down to 1 second, in and back out again. I focus on positive things that I want to do. Every day I try to have a plan, what I'm going to do that day with my different outer circle activities. And all my outer circle activities are about doing something with someone else. When I'm home by myself and I have idle time, that's my addict's workshop. Now, don't misunderstand, I'm still a self-centered introvert. And I still get pleasure from watching different programs on television. I get pleasure from playing video games. I get pleasure from reading. But I do it in moderation. I do it to help rid me of negative images. Now, a lot of times I can just be walking down the street, watching something on television that I think is going to be completely neutral, fun, and something comes on the screen that I have to be able to weed out, change the channel from, get away from. I've made a lifelong commitment to my program and to being a trusted servant. Talked a little bit about starting meetings and the responsibility to be a trusted servant there. And that was one place where I really learned from my higher power the lesson of perseverance, that I cannot give in or give up. That's what my addict wants me to do. My addict wants me to just give in and give up and not have to work hard anymore, not have to reach out to people, not have to say my prayers for another day, not have to rely on someone else, not have to reach out and help someone. And one of the most important parts of my recovery has been the people that I've met along my path. I talked a lot about my sponsor last night, but I've met a number of other people along my path who have been inspirations to me. Some of them are here at the retreat this weekend. I can remember going to my first meetings and learning about chips. And people were getting 3 months chips, 6 months chips. I was thinking, boy, I'll never get there. I can't see myself stopping this for 3 months. I've been doing this for 40 years, and I've only stopped for 3 months once. Seeing people get 9 months, seeing people get the medallions, people talking about being in the program 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. And although I've been in the program for over 5 years and I have a 4-year medallion, I could lose all that just like that, because I've gone back to day zero before. February 7, 2011. If there's any one day in my life that I could repeat, it would be that day. Because that relapse I had on that day could have been so easily prevented. And I learned on that day that I have to keep my focus and discipline on my program each and every day. And it's not just only saying the prayers and doing the readings, but it's a lot of that I've learned about myself. And again, it's a lot that I've learned from watching other people and their examples. As I said last night, I've been very blessed in my life. I've been fortunate that I've had, before coming to the program, I had 3 great mentors in my life. I had a man early in my life in my church who helped me with a lot of things early in my life. Helped me get a driver's license, helped me get a scholarship through college. I had a person in my career help me make great strides in my career, and a person helped me get actually into senior executive service before I retired from the federal government. But those people, in some ways, kind of pale in comparison to the mentors that I've had in this program, because these people really have taught me how to live my life on a daily basis. They've really shown me how to live what is here in this book and to follow the solution of working the 12 steps. So I have found that while sometimes it can be difficult, sometimes it can be lonely, that's when I turn to my higher power. That's when through praying to Him that He shows me that, yes, you can do this. Yes, if you follow the program, if you listen to me, if you make the right decisions right here and right now, I know the way to go. I know the right things to do. But this is a cunning, baffling, and powerful disease that I have that I really have to fight every day. So I now invite you to share some of your experiences as trusted servants with us as well. We'll be first. With this specific meeting that I'm talking about, when I first started going to this meeting, their format was they would have the typical introductory documents, how it works, promises, things like that. They would do the seven tradition, then they would read the daily meditation for answers in the heart, and they would share to that. I had to take a step back and wait for an opportunity to say, guys, we need to start reading out of this at every meeting. Here is where the solution is. And what I found was that you had newcomers coming in, and what they were hearing were not people talking about the solution, but talking about something that may not have even had to do with their sex addiction, some problem they were having. So people weren't talking about the solution. So I waited for the right opportunity, and in a business meeting, I suggested I start reading out of the Green Book. I tend to be more of a subtle, behind-the-works type of pusher. I did start talking to some people who I thought could start stepping up and asking them to take on specific positions. And one of them, you know, after thinking about it and praying about it over some time, now, you know, wants to do more. I think that getting up in somebody's face and telling them you've got to do more tends to shut more people down. I mean, one, you have to remember, we are all damaged. And I am number one. I don't have your ego. I need to have someone who can, for me, I need to see an example. I don't necessarily need to have someone hold me by the hand, but I need to see an example I could follow. That's why I was talking about there are people in this program, and unfortunately they're too few, who are very, very strong examples that if you listen to them and talk to them and follow where they have gone, you can get to great heights just like they have. And when I say great heights, I just mean they know how to go about their business on a daily basis and not have a relapse. To me, this is all about me staying sober today. That's number one. Number two is reaching out to the sex addict who still suffers. If I do that every day, then I've had a pretty good day. So to do that, to be ready to really reach out to the sex addict who suffers, I think take some leadership from on your own. To first know that I had to take care of my own business. I've had a lot of people who have asked me to help them. And then when they start calling me, what they're talking about, this happened with my wife, and I've had this problem with my job. And we're not talking about the solution. They're not talking about working the step. They're not talking about, you know, I'm struggling a little bit with identifying my fears or my resentments. Again, I'm not a pusher or someone who says, you're doing this wrong. I listen, and I try to bring them back to this. And that's why I like the quote out of this so much, because what is in here is so rich. And if you just follow what is in here, I think you can help the person decide on their own, because, I mean, you can yell at people, you can tell them they're doing wrong things. But when they go home at night, and when they're by themselves in their thoughts, if they can't identify on their own where they need to go, then they're going to give in to the wrong thoughts. My experience has been, I need to build up strong experiences that I can have, and I can call on those thoughts, and that euphoric recall, and know that when I've done something well, and I've gotten positive feedback, I want to do that again. That feeds my ego. My ego gets fed when I can say at 1 minute before midnight, I had a pretty good day today. What did I do right today that I can repeat tomorrow? And then repeat that tomorrow and then talk about it to other people and try to be an example for other people, because that's what has helped me. Seeing some people in this room who are setting an example day after day after day and putting up with, you know, some pretty difficult situations. I mean, I've heard people talk about who are now leaders in SAA who have really gone through some really tough times. And it's been interesting for me, not that I judge, but it's been interesting to me how many people have really had a lot of legal problems in their life and yet have overcome that. And if you were just to meet them and talk to them, you know, outside the fellowship, you would think they've had a great life. But sometimes it's those struggles that you overcome. And I don't focus on the past. I try to keep the past in the past. I try to keep all that shame and guilt. But yet, I know I have to deal with it. And I deal with it by trying to do positive things and reaching out to the sex addict who still suffers. I don't know if that helps you or not, Gary. Well, let me give you a couple of responses. One, Ken's going to follow his workshop on sponsorship. What's the name of the person who was here last year? Carver B. Carver B. gave us an example last year of how using the Blue Book, you can go through the 12 steps very quickly. And I have started to use that program that he gave us. What he talked about early in AA, they believed in doing the 12 steps quickly and often. I think you can still use this book, but I think mainly what you're talking about is relationship between a sponsor and a sponsee. So I'm not going to steal any of Ken's thunder, but I will tell you that the board is working on some help for sponsors to work with sponsees around the subject of service, which I think is a great way to go. So I'm going to leave it up to Ken, and Ken, I'm sure, can address more of that when he gives his workshop. But I would advise anyone who was not here last year, Jim could probably guide you to where you can get the materials from Garver B., who took us through the 12 steps in 1 day and gave us materials of how we could do that as a sponsor with sponsees. I don't know if you want to add anything to that, Jim.
Yeah, just a quick comment. We have the recording available for the and I have the worksheet that he handed out. So, you know.
And then, you know, that'll kind of explain whoever has anything to do with it.
Yeah, Bobby, what you talked about, some people call it 12-stepping. And I did that. The meeting after I asked my sponsor to be my sponsor, within 2 days I was having lunch with him and his sponsor, and that's how they 12-stepped me. Yes, Eddie.
I worked through 12-step probably in working with
Well, I've about run out of time, so I'm going to leave that up to Ken, but I wanted to close with today's reading from Answers in the Heart. The possibilities for tomorrow are usually beyond our expectations, Anonymous. When is it struggle to believe that we're hopeful, productive, and capable of caring for and loving others? We may have to pretend that we are all these things. The program calls this acting as if. We can act as if we're hopeful. We can act as if we're productive. We can act as if we care. We may not have a long record of being all these things, and we may not even know how sometimes, but we don't have to. We have a promise that a higher power is caring for us, and will help us do the things we can't do on our own. Acting as if is hard work. It takes constant letting go. it may feel totally unqualified to live in reality and resentful that we have to. Our grandiosity whispers that reality is boring and beneath us. We are special. We don't have to follow the same rules other people do. Consciously turn our wills and our lives over to God, still the addictive voice, and focuses our energy on real life. We become part of life rather than an adversary, and we feel the pleasure of our efforts. If today is a day to act as if, I will accept it and do my best. Thank you.